Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. Before I get into the program, I want to thank those of you who have helped financially support this ministry. Sandra and I are thankful to see your support. We're not out of the woods yet. We still need your help. But it's always refreshing and uplifting to see how many of you have said, well, this is a vital ministry. We need to keep this going and have sent your financial blessings to us. Thank you for that. Now, as I was trying to come up with a list of programs for this month, I'm looking at current events that are transpiring. And kind of like when I have Pat McShay on here for Information Overload, we don't write anything. We just take what Idiocracy, for lack of a better term, puts out there and we talk about it. Now, it was tragic, but the shooting of an activist in Minnesota for assaulting a police officer. He's a law enforcement agent, even though he works for ICE. He is law enforcement. That was tragic. But it was, if you've seen the video, you can say it was justified. And then you find out later that he was hospitalized for internal bleeding. She obviously hit him with the car harder than we originally could deduce from the video. But I'm seeing all of these protests and activists going crazy over what Immigration Customs Enforcement is doing. And I decided to, well, I titled the program ICE, It's Not Just for Tea. And I know it's kind of tongue in cheek to say it that way, but the people that have raised up and are in such an uproar over rounding up criminal illegal aliens, not just here illegally. Yes, it's a misdemeanor. Yes, they still get deportation orders. Yes, they need to be removed from this country. But the people that ICE is targeting is criminals, child sex abusers, child traffickers, drug traffickers, murderers, rapists, burglars, assault, domestic assault. These are disqualifications for people from another country to be allowed to stay in this country. And there are a number of clips that are showing up on Facebook and Twitter because the internet never forgets. You can delete it, but somebody has a screenshot somewhere. There's videos being reposted every day on X, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram from politicians back in 08, talking about deportation and doing things that are, well, I mean, even goes back to Slick Willie when he was president. Listen to these Democrats. There's a whole hodgepodge of them on deporting illegal aliens.
In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes.
Senator Biden, yes or no, would you allow the cities to ignore the federal law?
No.
I think we got to have tough conditions. Tell people to come out of the shadows. If they've committed a crime, deport them. No questions asked.
Undocumented workers broke our immigration laws, and I believe that they must be held accountable, especially those who may be dangerous. Even as we are a nation of immigrants, we're also a nation of laws. Undocumented workers broke our immigration laws.
Undocumented workers, illegal aliens, broke our immigration laws. where was the hubbub when Clinton was rounding up, I can't remember the number right off the top of my head, but somebody somewhere said upwards of 15 million people were deported under Clinton. There was 5 million deported under Obama. So far, 1.5 million under Trump. Where was the uproar when Clinton was kicking illegal aliens out of the country? When Biden, in that clip, said, don't keep them, send them home. Hillary even said, if they've committed a crime, get them out of here. Where was the uproar when Democrats were saying that these illegal aliens had to be deported? But President Obama, in 2008, promised part of his campaign was going to be what? Listen to this young lady's post from Facebook.
Why is it that the party that is so upset about mass deportation today is the same party that ran on mass deportation back in 2008? No one protested when Obama put kids in cages back in 2010. No one protested when Obama separated families back in 2010. You had no problem supporting mass deportations back when you liked the president that was doing it.
There's the key. TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. Obama ran on it. Listen to Obama.
Bush administration has done nothing to control the problem that we have. We've had 5 million undocumented workers come over the borders since George Bush took office. It has become an extraordinary problem. And the reason the American people are concerned is because they are seeing their own economic position slip away. And oftentimes, employers are exploiting these undocumented workers. They're not paying the minimum wage. They're not observing worker safety laws. As president, I will make sure that we finally have the kind of border security that we need.
Obama ran on border security. What did Biden do? Biden opened up the border. Him and Mayorkas got rid of our borders, Canada and Mexico. Venezuela saw this as a boon. We'll empty our prisons. We'll send all these thugs, these gangbangers, these Trinidad gangbangers. We'll ship them. We'll pay to send them to Mexico, and then they can cross there into Texas or California, Arizona, New Mexico. Matters not. Get them out of Venezuela and get them up there. Maybe they'll send some of these American gringo dollars back down to Venezuela. Huh. There's rumors 30, 40 million illegals flooded through our borders during Biden's reign of terror. And Trump campaigned on the same thing that Obama did. We need to deport these individuals. But because Orange Man bad, we cannot have it. Now, this was posted on Twitter by Maze Moore, M-A-Z-E Moore. And she had a clip of a CNN ride-along from 2016. It was in Chicago. This ride-along follows ICE agents as they made arrests early in the morning. The segment aired May 31st, 2016. The reporter's name was Pamela Brown. In this piece, and it was 6-7 minutes long. I've cut it down to about 3 minutes, but I want you to hear how CNN framed this. But in this piece by Pamela Brown, you hear an ICE agent saying he had three targets in areas that are a little sketchy. But the shocking thing is how different this video looks from what you see on CNN now. There were no protests. There was no chanting. There were no pundits saying this is bad. It is a quiet, procedural ride-along. I want you to listen to the tone from a 2016 CNN ride-along with ICE.
Just before the sun rises in the Windy City, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents fan out across Chicago to arrest criminals in the U.S. illegally. CNN was granted exclusive access to witness some of those raids.
We got three targets this morning. You know, some of the neighborhoods are a little sketchy, so we got to make sure it's not just the target we're looking after, but other people around us.
They want to come out extra early, like right now, because they want to catch these people before they go to work. That's why it starts so early in the morning. How many people are involved with this operation, particularly right now?
I have a 5-man arrest team here situated in this neighborhood, here on the street. You see the stoop going up. I have a couple guys sitting right inside that stoop. This is part of what we do, keep eyes on somebody and try to be as covert as we can.
This may look organized, but in this moment, confusion.
There's always challenges we face when it's dark, somebody looks very similar to an individual.
ICE agents mistakenly arrest the target's brother.
In the process of talking to him in the vehicle, he then said, oh, no, I'm actually so-and-so. Who you're looking for is over here, this other address. He led us to that address, and we were able to actually arrest the individual we were looking for.
Do you have evidence, right, that he's using a fake identity or...
That is correct. We believe he's been using a U.S. citizen's identity to live and work. He has an Illinois driver's license.
He's going to be processed. They're going to fingerprint him, ask him questions, and there's a whole process that goes into place before anyone is deported back, including seeing a judge.
Third target, he has an unauthorized use of a weapon, which was a firearm. He has a couple DUIs. He is a criminal. He has extensive criminal history. And by taking him out of the community, it's making the community safer. And that's ICE's purpose, is to focus on criminals and community safety by taking these recidivist criminals out of our communities.
So we got here and there was a lot of action almost immediately.
We came in, saw the individual, we had eyes on our target. You know, he was able to come out of the business for us. We were able to apprehend him without incident. At the same time, we also brought out his brother, who also is believed to be illegal in the United States. We were able to run him on our portable fingerprint scanner. He did have a hit with DHS, so he's been previously encountered, believed by the Border Patrol. So we're going to take him to the office and verify what criminal history he has, and we'll go from there with him. At the same time, with an individual run out the back of the business and started jump fences, officers pursued him. We were able to apprehend him.
Why did you run?
Well, the thing is, I got to look out for my kids. I just don't want to leave my family alone. That's one of the main reasons.
What do you think about what ICE is doing to get criminal undocumented immigrants off the street?
That's good. We really appreciate that, because, I mean, sometimes they get people that they're not doing anything. And we come over here for the same reason, to work, not to go ahead and break houses, break cars, nothing.
All right, take care, sir. He's just saying he was scared and ran from the cops, but that's why we want to encounter him, see what's going on, see what his story is. He's not a priority. We haven't encountered him before, so we're going to let him go on the spot. So that's one of the beautiful things that some of the technology we're trying to deploy is to be able to do some of the screening right here instead of dragging everybody back to the office. And it worked out great this particular time.
Did you get that? So CNN isn't criticizing ICE for doing their job. They're actually painting ICE in a good light. This was exclusive access during the Obama years. They even made a mistake arrest. Did you hear CNN pundit, the reporter, anybody go off and say anything bad about ICE? No, there was no problem with it. The thing is, this was before sanctuary cities and states. Community safety. That's what the ICE officer said. Community safety. We want to get these criminals off the streets and protect the people that are here. The one guy that ran, that they arrested and questioned, they asked him, what do you think about what ICE is doing? It's good to see criminals get off the street. Where was the vitriol? Where was the hate? Where was the anger? Where were the protests? There were none, because it wasn't until Trump was elected in 2016 that ICE was labeled the Gestapo. Think about that. 180-degree turn. And now this anti-ICE activism has gone from sporadic protests into a sophisticated web of resistance networks. These networks systematically surveil, harass, obstruct federal immigration enforcement. These networks train activists in specialized resistance tactics. They are deploying mobile apps and crowdsourced databases to track these ICE agents. They are orchestrating campaigns aimed at disrupting lawful operations, all in the name of community defense. You will hear some of these local politicians, if you bother to look, say that we're taking care of our constituents. If they're here illegally, they cannot be a constituent because they cannot vote for you legally. Are they saying the quiet part out loud, that they know these illegal aliens are voting for them? Is that why Biden let in 50 million? Because he wanted to strengthen the Democratic Party? Is that why Gavin Newsom is so proud that he says that they are paying for health care no matter your immigration status in California? This is an aggressive propaganda ecosystem that is manipulating or context stripping videos people are shooting. And CNN, MSNBC, or MS Now, whatever, all of the controlled media are taking these videos, they're circulating these clips of ICE agents when they're breaking windows without explaining that the occupants would not open the door. They claim agents chase these suspects and omit the fact that these criminals are fleeing arrest. You see agents in videos that are having to wrestle with these suspects, but they don't tell you that the subject has resisted arrest. It's all in the language. It's all in the language and how they present these videos. There have been citizens who have assaulted or interfered with federal officers, but this is all left out of the narrative. These activists insist there is no due process in immigration enforcement, despite the reality that a large share of deportees already have outstanding final orders of removal that were never executed. Never. Biden wasn't sending anybody home. They are demonizing ICE and trying to normalize this anarchist resistance. And sympathetic media figures and officials in sanctuary jurisdictions are deploying emotionally charged language designed to equate enforcement with kidnapping. How many times have you heard on the news that this individual was kidnapped by ICE? That's the reporter's words. Kidnapped by ICE. When in fact they were apprehended, arrested. The left knows what they're doing. They are inflaming the public with this rhetoric. There are several activist organizations actively coordinating interference with ICE operations. These efforts are structured, the activists are well-trained, and they are well-funded. Minneapolis ICE Watch Network is one of them. That's who Renee Good belonged to. She relocated from Missouri to Minnesota to participate in this effort. ICE Watch Minneapolis provides activists with instructions on when to blow whistles to alert the neighbors, how to document and resist federal action. They have training sessions that reportedly go beyond observation and teach participants how to shadow agents, disrupt operations, create conditions that make routine enforcement more dangerous and chaotic. But if you had the entire video, much like the George Floyd video, if you had the entire video, you would see that ICE agents are not the ones instigating the violence. They are simply performing their lawful duties, and the activists are choosing to escalate, obstruct, and physically interfere with these operations. There was an ICE agent filmed recently in Minnesota. He was in his truck looking for a criminal illegal alien, and he confronts a car that's videotaping him. And listen to what this ICE agent says.
We're here to arrest a child sex offender, and you guys are out here honking.
Oh, they're not. No, we're pressing.
That vehicle right there is honking and impeding our investigations while we're trying to arrest a child sex offender. That's who you guys are protecting. Insane.
I don't think anything else needs to be said. Insane. These people, these activists, are disrupting active law enforcement seeking a child sex molester. Let that sink in. This is a criminal who preys on children. Yet these activists think that he needs to remain in their community. Where is the disconnect? Where is the logic? It's because the politicians on the loony left, the media that is controlled, are framing these actions with negative verbiage to inflame the public. I'll tell you a quick story. My wife went to the grocery store today. Leslie went to the local grocery store. And while she was there, some woman came up behind her, doesn't know her from Adam, and obviously doesn't listen to me. She says, can you believe what they're doing with these illegal, with these undocumented people? They are kidnapping them. They are throwing them in jail. And it is vile. This is a total stranger to Leslie. That's how bad this rhetoric has affected common sense in the public. They think these operations are bad. When in fact, and I've got a list I'm going to read to you towards the end of the program, of some of the people they have rounded up in Minneapolis. But the fact that this woman felt the need to share her views on how bad this is, Trump derangement syndrome, how bad ICE is, Kristi Noem, Department of Homeland Security, these people are bad because they're kidnapping illegal, undocumented immigrants. Oh, I got a clip from Grady Judd I'll share you in a little bit, too, about undocumented immigrants. But the range of anti-ICE organizations that are actively encouraging this disruption is amazing. Several of these groups receive funding from a mix of federal grants, your taxpayer dollars and mine, George Soros-linked open society entities, and other private donors. Pass-through funding has been traced to organizations later linked to designated terrorist groups. Certain outfits are openly training these activists to interfere with ICE operations, and they are themselves beneficiaries of federal funding. That's one thing that our federal government needs to do, investigate, and hopefully Besant, Noem, and other people in, and Patel at FBI, hopefully they're following the money. And they can go after these enablers. ICE Watch Minneapolis engages in organized tactics that go well beyond peaceful protest. They have training material explicitly instructing activists on how to block police vehicles, which is what Renee Good was doing. Members have used their own cars to barricade streets. They impede ICE convoys and create physical obstacles to enforcement. Activists that are affiliated with this group are patrolling neighborhoods for hours on end. They are trailing suspected ICE vehicles. They are following ICE agents to restaurants and hotels, monitoring their downtime, all in an effort to intimidate and disrupt. This is targeted surveillance of federal officials, and it is driven by ideologically motivated opponents. Not law, ideological. This group has also circulated a de-arrest primer. It was on Instagram, and it describes how to physically interfere with an arrest. This document outlines tactics such as encircling or forming a human wall around an officer and the detainee, ungrabbing, pulling the arrestee out of the officer's grip, and swarming, which is flooding the area with people to create confusion or obstruction so the officer is forced to let the detainee go. This same primer that went out on Instagram instructs followers on how to open doors of law enforcement vehicles, how to use crowd pressure to force officers to release detainees, and reportedly these materials reassure activists that such actions are often treated as misdemeanor offenses and may result in catch and release. Catch and release. A slap on the hand. Why not, with George Soros having a bunch of district attorneys in his pocket? Why not? Right alongside Ice Watch is Twin Cities Ungovernables. It is an openly confrontational wing of the anti-ICE movement. These are anarchist-leaning collectives. They describe themselves on their platform, such as Threads and Instagram, as focusing on graffiti, banner drops, protests, and other signs and steps being taken towards becoming ungovernable anarchists. This group has urged supporters to block vehicles, confront agents, barricade streets, and bring materials that can be set on fire. Another one of the players in Minnesota, Indivisible Twin Cities. Now, after the shooting of Ms. Good, this group helped coordinate and promote protests nationwide. They mobilized hundreds of demonstrations across all 50 states. They marched here in Austin. Public grant records and IRS filings show that Indivisible Twin Cities 501c4 nonprofit has received between $7.6 and $9.5 million from George Soros' Open Society Foundation. Indivisible benefited from more than $3 million in pass-through funding from the Tides Nexus. The Tides Network itself has received extensive backing from Open Society Foundation, including approximately $17.8 million during the 2022-2023 fiscal year alone. Tides operates as a fiscal sponsor and pass-through entity for more than 1,400 social ventures worldwide. These national networks shape the ideological and financial environment. The Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights operates extensive MigraWatch training programs designed to monitor and respond to federal immigration activity, and the organization is primarily funded by government sources, our tax money. In fiscal year 2023 alone, this organization received $77.7 million in government grants. Now, taken together, these developments reveal a sprawling, well-sourced, well-resourced movement that seeks not merely to advocate for immigration reform, but to actively frustrate the enforcement of existing law. From Minneapolis street barricades to national funding pipelines, the pattern is consistent. Progressive and anarchist groups, often backed by major left-wing donors, and in some cases by taxpayer dollars, are working to delegitimize ICE. They want to obstruct federal officers and erode the principle that immigration laws must be enforced if they are to mean anything at all. Anarchists. George Soros. How has this guy not been kicked out of America? How has his son Alex not been kicked out of this country? They are anti-America to the hilt. And they are using their largesse, their funds, to destroy this country. Brick by brick. Unbelievable. I've got a whole lot more I have to get to in the other half. I want to thank you for giving me a little bit of your time. We are discussing ICE. It's not just for tea. We have to take a brief pause, and when I come back, I'm going to dive right back in. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I mentioned George Soros and his Open Society Foundation before the break, we have got an outstanding book written by Matt Palumbo entitled The Man Behind the Curtain, Inside the Secret Network of George Soros. No one else in modern politics has anywhere near the power and influence of George Soros, both domestically and internationally. Backed by the tens of billions of dollars he's accumulated throughout his career, Soros has his hand in influencing the media, activist groups, colleges, presidential elections, global elections, U.S. local politics, and much more. Soros has earned himself a reputation as a boogeyman character on the right, and nowhere else will you read such an extensive documentation of his influence as in this book. Matt Palumbo documents and exposes George Soros' web of influence. 224 pages. Outstanding read. You need to have it in your library. We're only asking $18. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $24 for The Man Behind the Curtain. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for The Man Behind the Curtain right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, your address, enter your charge card, select your shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. $24 postpaid for The Man Behind the Curtain. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. We are talking ICE. It's not just for tea. Now, I mentioned Renee Good. She was following aggressive tactics that have been promoted by leftist-funded organizations like Defund 612. I told you Good joined ICE Watch after discovering, get this, the network through her son's charter school. That's how she found out about it. What are they teaching in that charter school that they talk about ICE Watch? Now, Tricia McLaughlin, the Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs at the Department of Homeland Security, described Ms. Good as an agitator. She claimed that there was evidence showing that she had been stalking and impeding a law enforcement operation. Ms. McLaughlin said, quote, "This individual was impeding law enforcement and weaponized her vehicle in an attempt to kill or cause bodily harm to federal law enforcement," close quote. She continued, quote, "If you weaponize a vehicle, a deadly weapon, to kill or cause bodily harm to a federal law enforcement officer, that is an act of domestic terrorism and shall be prosecuted as such. But if you don't live in Minnesota, you may not have been aware of this," because I wasn't. You see in the video that these law enforcement officers instruct Miss Good to get out of her vehicle. Instead, she backed up, she turned the wheel, she floored it, and struck this officer. He responded with multiple shots that killed her. Just like Minnesota is wont to do, I guess, riots ensued. Tim Walz, the governor, the one who ran alongside Kamala Harris as a vice presidential nominee. He's the governor of Minnesota. Well, he abandoned his run for reelection after this event. Maybe because people saw that he is an ineffective leader, that he is namby-pamby, wishy-washy, or it could be that people remembered he is the governor who signed into law a provision in the state that allows law enforcement officers to shoot at vehicles that are targeting them. You hear all these politicians say they want to file charges against this ICE officer. They want to charge him with murder. But Minnesota law allows law enforcement officers to shoot at vehicles that they believe are targeting them. Now, Democrats immediately started claiming this Minnesota woman disobeyed an order so she could be shot as a threat. This is wrong. This is outright lying. The concept promoted by Jamie Raskin, a demon rat from California, Commifornia, Jamie Raskin, piece of trash. He said that just because she disobeyed an order, it was okay for her to be shot. But this is wrong. No, Jamie, this is the law that your buddy Tim Walz put into effect. And the state legislation put it out there. They introduced the bill and Walz signed it. Under Minnesota state law, this is proper protocol. Minnesota law, subsection 609.066, allows deadly force by officers if they see a life-threatening danger. A vehicle is a deadly weapon. An analyst explained that this means, quote, officers can use deadly force if a driver accelerates toward them, creating immediate life-threatening danger. That was an analyst. The officer acted in his safety. She could have got out of the car. She could have been arrested for impeding an investigation. Maybe she would have gotten off with a misdemeanor like they profess in their literature, gotten a hand slap and sent home to her lesbian wife. You hear the wife, because she had her phone out videotaping this encounter, saying, drive off, or something to that effect. She should be charged with accessory after the fact for telling her lesbian lover to hit the cop with the car. She's just as responsible for Renee being dead as the officer who pulled the trigger. At least in my eyes, that's the way it is. How many of you have been hit by a car? I got hit by one when I was a teenager. It was probably doing 5 miles an hour. Got hit on the back of the leg. Ended up on the hood and back against the windshield. I had bruises you could not imagine from the middle of my shin, my calf muscle, all the way up through my hamstring. One ginormous bruise on each leg. These are weapons. Kid yourself not. But who is funding these groups? Defend 612 takes contributions under another name, Cooperation Cannon River. The website Give Butter allows users to contribute to defend the 612. It is organized by Cooperation Cannon River, a 501c3 nonprofit. But there are various left-wing nonprofits that have contributed to Cooperation Cannon River. MN350 is a climate activist group. They gave $75,000 in 2021. The Solutions Project, a left-leaning nonprofit co-founded by actor Mark Ruffalo, gave Cooperation Cannon River $50,000 as part of its Fund for Frontline Power Grant Initiative. This is in 2023. Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors, a left-leaning grant maker, gave $410 million in grants in 2023, and it gave this group $15,517 in 23 for general expenses. Amalgamated Charitable, it's a foundation of the union-aligned Amalgamated Bank, gave Cooperation Cannon River $10,000 for project support. The Proteus Fund, another left-leaning pass-through funder, gave the group $10,000 for rights and justice in 2021. The legal analyst at CNN was on with Anderson Cooper, had some shocking things to say. I don't think Anderson Cooper liked it. During their discussion, Ellie Honig made it clear that blue state efforts to sue Immigration and Customs Enforcement amount to political theater rather than a viable legal strategy. Honig explained that Minnesota's request runs headlong into the Constitution itself. Honig said, quote, "What they are asking, the state of Minnesota is asking a federal judge to throw ICE out of the state and to prohibit ICE from enforcing federal law in the state. There's simply no precedent for that." Close quote. So, according to Honig, neither Minnesota nor Illinois cited any cases supporting their claims because none exist. Then, Cooper and Honig's conversation shifted to Minnesota officials floating the idea of a state-level investigation into the shooting of Renee Good. Honig warned that such a path invites chaos. He said splintered investigations undermine any serious pursuit of truth. ICE says that these criminal illegal aliens were roaming freely in the sanctuary state of Minnesota prior to being arrested. These are the type of people politicians and activists are referring to as their neighbors as they attempt to interfere with ICE. Here we go. I'm going to butcher these names. Sridorn Favon is a Laotian illegal alien convicted of strong-arm sodomy of a boy and a girl with a deportation order since 2018. Tao Vang, a Laotian illegal alien, was convicted of sexual assault and sodomy of a girl under age 13 and procuring a child for prostitution, has had a deportation order since 2006. Chong Vu, another Laotian illegal alien, convicted of strong-arm rape of a 12-year-old girl, kidnapping a child with intent to sexually assault her, with a deportation order that dates back to 2004. Ji Yang, Laotian illegal alien, convicted of strong-arm rape, aggravated assault with a weapon, and strangulation, has had a deportation order since 2012. Pao Chawa Zhong, a Laotian illegal alien, is convicted of rape and child fondling with a deportation order dating back to 2003. These are neighbors that they want to keep on the streets. Cao Lor, a Laotian, convicted of rape, rape with a weapon, and sexual assault, has a deportation order dating back to 1996. Hernan Cortez Valencia, Mexican illegal alien, convicted of sexual assault of a child and DUI with a deportation order in 2016. Abdurashid Adosh Elmi, a Somalian illegal alien, convicted of homicide. Gilberto Salguro Landaverde, a Salvadoran illegal alien convicted of 3 counts of homicide, has a deportation order dating back to June of last year. Gabriel Figueroa Gama, a Mexican illegal convicted of homicide, previously deported in 2002. Galuak Michael Rotge, a Sudanese illegal alien convicted of homicide. Tai Lor, a Laotian illegal alien convicted of 2 counts of homicide, with a deportation order in 2009. Mariana Sia Kanu, an illegal from Sierra Leone, convicted of 2 counts of homicide with a deportation order in 2022. These are neighbors. These are the people that they wanted to keep here, that needed to stay in Minnesota. Aldrin Guerrero Munoz, a Mexican illegal convicted of homicide, deportation order 2015. Abdurashid Mohammed Ahmed, a Somalian illegal, convicted of manslaughter, deportation order, 2022. Mongong Duol Manyang Ding, a Sudanese illegal, convicted of attempt to commit homicide, weapons possession, and DUI. Aller Gomez Lucas, Guatemalan, convicted of negligent homicide with a vehicle and DUI, Deportation Order 2022. Shui Hatu, a Burmese illegal alien convicted of negligent homicide. These are the neighbors these activists are trying to keep in Minnesota. That's just some of them. That was a list that Bill Malugan put together on X that he shared with everybody. Criminals, thugs, murderers, child molesters, rapists. Goodness. When is common sense going to break out in this country? Man, it's just so aggravating to know that these people don't need to be in this country, let alone Minnesota. I mean, that way north, they're not affecting me. But the fact that they want to keep these people on the streets and run ICE out of town is preposterous. And speaking of preposterous, Sheriff Grady Judd out in Florida, man, he gets it. He has common sense. And I've got a clip of him. Boy, he destroys this woke reporter, and he talks about the ICE issue.
74% of the illegal immigrants that we've detained have had criminal charges against them, okay? The other 26% were riding with them. So when we stop a car, we run a warrants check on everybody in the car. When there's a call for service, we run a warrants check on the victim, the suspect, and all the witnesses, okay? We call that 26% collateral. But three out of four of them have committed another criminal charge. Now think about that for a second. They couldn't commit that crime if they weren't here, but they did. So now you're having to take your taxpayer money and my taxpayer money and pay for the prosecution of those folks, pay for the public defender that defends them, pay for the jail and the prison sentence, depending on what the charges are. And the majority of the 26% that was left, they were what we call collaterals, and most of them were with the person committing the crime. And that's the numbers that we have so far. So how many illegal immigrants have we arrested this year? We've arrested 557 that have criminal charges as well as they're here illegally. That's just this year. And let me focus on this. And I know on social media people have already tuned out, but you need to tune back in and listen to this. The reason that you see ICE flooding into Minnesota and Minneapolis and into Los Angeles, into these big cities, is because they refuse to turn over the illegal immigrants who are being arrested by the local police department where there's outstanding ICE warrants. If they would have simply, instead of fighting back and pushing back against the federal government, instead of violating the federal law, which is what these leaders have done there, if they'd have said, look, ICE, we don't want our police like actively engaged in ICE enforcement, but you can come in our jails. And as we make arrest, you can go through your evaluation process and remove those criminals that are committing crime against the citizens of the United States and against each other. You can remove them. Then they wouldn't be flooding these big blue areas with all of these ICE agents. So it's the policy and the laws that the California and the Illinois and the Minnesota and the Oregons and the Portlands and the city, it's the laws that they've passed that's created the environment for ICE to have to go in there and do it all on their own. And it puts the ICE agents at additional risk. The local law enforcement officers have already taken the risk to arrest these people. They're in custody. They're locked up. They're in a county lockup or a city lockup someplace or a state lockup for their causes. But yet they're telling the city, the county, or the state prison system, turn these illegals that have committed crime back out into the community on our people. If ICE can't get help from the state and the local folks, then they have to send more resources in in order to do the job. All of this could have been avoided. All of this could have been. You don't see that happening in Florida. You don't see ICE sending 1,000 people down here to go into Miami or Jacksonville or Tampa or Orlando or our big metro areas. You don't see that. You know why? Because we're cooperating. And this same environment could be in every one of those states if the state had cooperated. But instead, you've elected a bunch of people there that said, hey, we're going to let these criminals that are here illegally committing crime against the people of the state of California or Minnesota or wherever, we're going to allow them to come back out into the community and commit more crime against you rather than turn them over to our federal partners.
There's a lot of truth in his press conference. Local police cooperation. They've already done the hard work. They've captured these criminals. They're sitting in a jail somewhere. If there is a detainer, why not contact ICE and say, hey, we've got Joe Blow here. Come vet him. If you don't know him, then he'll deal with the legal system here and we'll move on. But that's not the case. The policies and the laws that these sanctuary cities and states have crafted are causing the issue. Plain and simple. Well, it's not relegated to Minnesota or California or Illinois. It's in Maryland. Well, the Maryland man, we've already talked about that before. But there is a Democrat in the state house that has put forth a stupid bill that he hopes to become law. Listen to this report.
Democratic delegate Adrian Buafo of Prince George's County sponsoring the Icebreaker Act of 2026. The bill looks to prevent any ICE agent hired during President Trump's second term from ever being able to become law enforcement in the state of Maryland. Harford County Sheriff Jeff Gaylor says the bill is not based on anything other than politics.
The hate, the Trump derangement syndrome would be the basis.
Gaylor says the agents are acting under orders, which has nothing to do with their political views.
They are doing the job that they signed up to do. Whether they agree or not, they have taken on the responsibility to safeguard people in this country. But California demon rat Ted Lieu, oh no, he wants to weaponize the government against these ICE agents. Listen to this jackwagon.
American people have the First Amendment right to observe ICE operations. The American people have the First Amendment right to peacefully photograph ICE operations. The American people have the First Amendment right to peacefully film and live stream ICE operations. Donald Trump has sent ICE across the country to try to intimidate people and communities in various states, and the people of Minnesota said, no, we're not going to take it. We will not yield. We will not bend the knee. And every time ICE engages in what appears to be abuse, more Minnesotans show up. Every time ICE and Border Patrol engage in what appear to be unlawful actions, more Minnesotans show up and observe, film, and live stream ICE. And this is so important because the evidence that's being gathered can be used in future years. And while this administration might not prosecute ICE officers or Border Patrol officers for violating federal law, a future administration can do so. The statute of limitations for most federal crimes is 5 years.
So, this idiot, yes, Ted Lieu is a crooked politician from California. He wants to use this as evidence against ICE agents and prosecute them under a demon rat administration. That's what he's saying. But I've got Patty Loves Truth put this clip up. This is some lunatic from the left going off and threatening to shoot ICE agents. Keep in mind, this is because of the rhetoric from mainstream media like CNN, the Washington Post, the New York Times, MSNBC or MS Now, The View, and idiots like Ted Lieu in the Democrat Party. Listen to what this guy says.
cause and murdering people for trying to flee and for obeying a command to leave the area, and then shooting her in the face like that after she drops her kid off at school. We have to show up with guns. We have to. There's no other way around it. I don't care if I don't have a Minnesota carry permit. I'm unarmed right now, but this is the last time I show up to face these guys without a weapon. There's no way. I got shot with a pepper ball 5 minutes after walking in here. I never laid a finger on them. I never raised a hand to them. I've only been using my voice. The time for speaking is over. The time for niceties is over. The time for peace is over. They fired the first shot. It is time to end this shit by any means necessary. We're in the dark time. There's no way out of this. There's no voting our way out of this. We can't wait till November. There's no waiting to the ballot box. We need to get to the bullet box. That's the only way. If there was another way, I'd be advocating for it. I've marched peacefully. I've been peaceful. I've acted peacefully. The time for peace is over. The time for any means necessary is right now.
That is a verbal threat to law enforcement officers, threatening to shoot ICE agents for doing the job they signed up to do. It was okay during Clinton's regime. It was okay during Obama's regime. Hillary Clinton even got up and said, we need to deport these criminals. And now we are going to allow the rhetoric to continue unabated and stir up more and more unrest with these simple-minded sycophants who are easily swayed by the rhetoric. The common sense has left the building. Now he's saying, I'm going to show up at one of these protests armed. I can tell you this. This is something that I fear. If Trump decides to utilize the Insurrection Act and park troops in Minnesota, that will be the beginning of a civil war in this country. It will be bloodier than the first civil war. That is what I'm afraid of. Because people like those on The View, MSNBC, MS Now, CNN, they are spewing so much vitriol that is riling up the easily influenced who refuse to think for themselves, get them fired up to go out armed and dangerous. And law enforcement is going to protect themselves. This will be a bloodbath. The politicians on the left, the pundits that favor the left, the rhetoric needs to stop now. The criminals need to be arrested, booted out of the country if they're here illegally. Those like this jackwagon that says that he's going to shoot ICE, these people need to be arrested. There was a protest. Don Lemon needs to be arrested in a church on Sunday. Disrupted the service because some rumor said that one of the assistant pastors was an ICE agent. Who cares? It was okay under Obama, but not now under Trump. They're arresting the protesters that disrupted a service. Pam Bondi, hopefully she's finally going to do some good, is on the scene in Minnesota. And they are arresting these agitators, these activists, these nut jobs. But we got to do something to stem the tide. We need to do something about the rhetoric that is inflaming the population that can't think for themselves. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.